Blog Talk Radio.
The whole thing gets.
This is wonderful. We have a constant acceleration of change as our future. Everything is going to be changing faster and faster and faster. What that means is that as a being, as long as you're centered, you're going to be getting more and more stable. It's already happening. More and more people are learning that their intuition is the tool to use to survive. They're getting more certain about that. Have you heard about the elephants in the tsunami? Right? All the animals made it out of there. Their intuition brought them along. Did you hear about the stories about in the Midwest? They just had 500 tornadoes this last year. And there were lots and lots of stories of miracle survival. And it was always the bottom line, the same word and the same story was intention or intuition. Or just knowing what to do or what not to do. This is getting more and more public. That intuition is the way through. And as more and more and more changes in your consciousness of 3D, this is all of this is your consciousness over here, of your experience in 3D, the faster and faster it changes, the more and more you're noticing. So the more and more stable or centered you become. Now, that's how it would naturally go. What happens if you do this? Let's take a chunk out of the integrity of the stereoscope. And this, now we're getting a look at what's going on and why it seems so difficult. You take a chunk out of this, and now let's spin it and see what happens. It's going to break this axle right off. Without the integrity, this centering doesn't occur. You know some people who don't believe in their intuition? Don't even think it's there? You know those people very good? Because I'll bet you look into their lives and there's going to be some integrity issues. What happens, see, is as soon as you step out of your own integrity, your mind steps in with all the reasons that you're not in your integrity. All the excuses. And it just keeps coming. 24 per second. When I'm talking about personal integrity, I mean following your heart. That's your integrity. Following your heart. And people have all sorts of reasons for not doing that, don't they? And the people with the most reasons have the less trust in their intuition. Have you seen that? They don't believe it's there, they don't trust it's there. Because the mind has stepped in between them and their intuition. I know people who are working at jobs that know that the job is killing them. And their relationships. And they keep going. Because they have to pay the bills. See, there is two brands of integrity. There's two brands. There's personal integrity, which is wholeness and forthrightness. And then there's institutional integrity. Institutional integrity, or power integrity, is can you keep a secret? That's their integrity. Can you hold a secret? If you can, you're an honorable man. And if you can't, you're not going to go any higher. The way that works. So power has had its own brand of integrity, but it hasn't been a wholeness. There have been secrets, there have been holes in this. in this balanced math. And what we're seeing now, as things speed up, as circumstances come faster and faster, we're seeing corporations, religions, relationships of all kinds flying apart for the lack of integrity. That's what's coming forward. That's what we're, like I said before, integrity and ethics is the issue. And it's going to become more and more so from here on forward. Now, there is no thing to do about this. There's no doing here. There's not really any having here either. There is being. And that's where we're headed back. Back to being. And I wanted to show you this next chart here about how we manifest ourselves into new states of being or new states of havingness and doing. And it's a regular formula that we can follow. I'm going to go through this again and we'll do a little bit more detail to it. Attention. These are the foundations of manifestation in the third dimension. First of all, attention. Showing up. Registering, witnessing what's going on. It's not easy to do this. Have you ever sat down in front of somebody, even somebody you like, and just try to pay attention, just look at them in the eye, and have them just look back at you? I mean, 5 minutes into it, your eyes feel like they're going to burn out of your head. All you want to do is just pay attention. Well, sometimes things hurt. It's hard to pay attention during that. Sometimes things feel really, really good. And people back off from that experience. Blown away. And they stop paying attention. They disconnect, like pulling an appliance out of the wall. It's just, you have to be paying attention. And having an intent, an intention of what you will be in the future. This is, your intention is you setting yourself up to be, to exist in a future moment with certain circumstances. Future, here we go. When you're paying close attention to what's actually going on and you have an intention, you're set up for being able to create or manifest your future. It's like this. You're walking through the garden. You're paying attention to the ground and where the steps are and where the holes might be. This way you make it through the garden. If you're not paying attention to where you're walking, you're walking on the plants, which isn't a part of your intention, do you think? It's just that on your face. Attention first, intention. Integrity. Integrity is the gatekeeper. If you don't have personal integrity, then you're not going to be able to touch, contact your intuition, which is your connection to source. And there, your ability to manifest goes right out the window. Attention, intention, integrity, and intuition. Integrity, this is like I said before, the fail-safe for being able to manifest what it is that you desire, or what it is that's in. When I say you desire, I'm saying that to this group because we all desire to evolve and help each other evolve. We know that. This whole foundation of magic is not so much for us and what we specifically want, like, you know, two Jaguars or yachts or anything like that. This is about manifesting the next steps in our evolution. What is it going to take for us to continue to go higher and higher in our ability and be more and more responsible? And it takes these steps and phases. It's not only about stuff. Understand? It's about states of being. How do you manifest higher and higher states of being? Paying attention with an intention, in integrity, so that you're connected to Source. I mean, we have been doing in order to have. I mean, since you were a little kid, what are you going to do when you grow up, right? It's like, here we are, we've been doing stuff in order to have things. And it's gotten to where now we have to do stuff. You have to do it. Just to keep yourself going. The thing that we've missed out completely, or most of society has, is the being part. Be, do, have. So now we're just working it the other way around. Now we have these tools. You have these tools. You can do the paying of attention, the setting of an intention, working on your integrity, being forthright, honest, and even if it's just admitting mistakes, and then connecting to your intuition. That's what makes it happen. This is going to be played out. Integrity means sustainability. A system that has integrity will last and will go on. A system that doesn't have integrity falls apart and quits. I've had cars like that. I bought them with, they had good integrity. But then I drove them for a while. I didn't pay that much attention to that noise. I intended to fix it sometime or another. But it started. So I drive it to the store, and you keep just doing that, and eventually, wham, it broke. What a surprise. The integrity had deteriorated to where it just wasn't going to do it. And of course, then my intuition was out the window. I was very upset. How did this happen to me? And it was just not following this formula. That's all it was. I did that to relationships too. Didn't pay enough attention? You've seen it happen. So what we're going to be doing this on a faster and faster and faster basis. In other words, it used to be that there was only so much happening in a certain period of time, only so much happening, and there was only so many intentions in a certain period of time. There's so many opportunities or openings, and there's so many intentions. So each one of these is like a coincidence. A coincidence of intent and opportunity. What we're seeing now, though, is that there's this rapid, rapid acceleration here of more intentions and more, it's sort of like sheep for tail, red count. So what we have is lots and lots more synchronicity and coincidence. Have you noticed? You send out an intention, and bam, it meets an opportunity right away. So this whole thing is going to be working faster and faster and faster. When you send out an intention, it's going to come like that. It's going to manifest right there, which is part of this stability. As you see it working quicker and quicker and quicker, you're going to become more and more certain, more and more stable about the fact that you can manifest your own reality, that you already are. better and better at it. And this is the steering wheel, more or less, for these four little things right here. Other questions about that? Anybody got any questions about this?
Yeah,
what is
being the future?
Being the future. Well, you're being in the present, what we consider the present, although, you know, everything is happening all at the same time. Future, the past, all that, right? Well, out of all the potentiality of what could happen in the next few moments, what's the most likely thing to happen? What you intend. This has been the way it's been your whole entire life. From your first breath, you have intended your next one. Haven't you? You know that we breathe 21,600 times a day? So there's 21,600 intentions that showed up in your life every day. Now we're all, nobody looks like they're starving. Everybody has intended to eat a meal a day at least, right? And that showed up. What most shows up in your life is what you intend. And that's true for everybody. Up until, and maybe even including, when you die. So what we're saying is that faster and faster, what you intend is going to show up. And more exactly what you intend. This trend is already going on. I mean, the whole deal of life is picking what you want to pay attention to, right? You pick what you want to pay attention to. Well, in the 200 years ago, there was a certain amount of things you could pay attention to. Now, there's, I mean, not just natural things to pay attention to, but there's all the media, all the different kinds of media presentations that you can pay attention to. You've got more and more choice of more and more fine-tuned intention of what you're going to pay attention to. And it's going to continue and continue. So we have just a system of more and more and more possibilities. And the only thing that would hold you back from being able to participate fully in the whole of this is your integrity. When your integrity goes out and you're not paying attention to the present moment, you can't really have an intention from that point, and you're disconnected from source. So ethics and integrity are the absolute key.
Of our presentation by Ian Munkle on the Mayan calendar. Let's welcome Ian back.
Quite wonderful that you have this center made available to all of us. Thank you very much. During the break, we had a couple of questions, and I was going to have people ask those questions again on tape. So one of the questions from over here. And what was the question again was?
The question is, where did the Maya people get the information from to begin with?
Okay. Where did the Maya people get this information to begin with? Well, we don't precisely know. We have their own legend is all we really know about it. And that in their legends, they say that a person or a god by the name of Itzamna came down to the Mayan people and delivered information about language, writing, mathematics, and the calendar. So they received this information as a gift. Where Itzamna came from and where he went, we don't really know. And frankly, it's none of our business. Where they got it? It's much more important what we do with the information now. They have sacrificed generations to hold this information. While the Catholics and the Jesuits and the corporate powers that be have pummeled the Mayan civilization, while their books and knowledges have been destroyed by the Catholic Church, they held this information as best they could. There are 8 million Maya still living in Central America. A very low percentage of them with any knowledge of their own culture. Very small percentage actually still follow the calendar and follow a traditional way. Yeah, it's been quite a journey for them. But they have held this information and passed it forward to us, we have added to their information with all the science that we now have, and it's come more full circle, or we're now receiving back the information, some of it, that the Maya had probably accumulated, but was burned by the Catholics. So, to answer that question. And then there was another question. I believe the question was, how much room did it take on the stone at Koba to present all this information? And there's a huge stone there, the calendar stone is what we call it, and it's in the Grotto of Kings. And the stone stands, oh, probably 12 feet high, covered with glyphs, and one side of that 12-foot-high monument is a bunch of Mayan writing. And all the writing that's on it, all that's there, is just the periods of time. How long was this period of time? How long was that period of time? How long was this period of time? In other words, the structure. What Coleman had done is filled in with our scientific knowledge what happened during those stages. And what showed up was that the pattern had certain kinds of things happen on certain kinds of days or nights over and over and over again. The pattern became unmistakably clear that we are on a schedule. And the schedule is leading, or all this development is leading to conscious co-creation of our very experience, of absolutely everything that we experience. Now, we were talking before the break, we were talking a lot about, in fact, the whole talk about integrity, and I thought it would be important to explain, Lucy, what integrity is. Integrity, simplest put, is following your heart. What do you really wish to do? And what are you not that interested in doing? That's, if you're doing that, you're following you're being integral to yourself. To thine own self be true is your personal integrity. Now, sometimes you want to do things for other people. You want to do things for other people because you see how it's going to eventually help you. Even if it disadvantages you right now, you know it's going to be better. So doing that would be following or participating in your integrity. It's going to be different. What one person's integrity is totally different to another person. If you're not matching up to your own expectations on your integrity, that's where you're really in trouble. Nobody can tell you what is your integrity and what isn't. Only you can do that. So there's an but having that in your consciousness, understanding the importance of it, makes it a lot easier for you to follow, because you can feel when you're not following it now. The next thing I wanted to talk about is probably, this cube of Kant right here. This is like my own demonstration or example of the current state of consciousness on planet Earth. Sort of like an ice cube. A cube. A mental block of what can't happen. There are certain things that just can't happen in this world. Things like seeing other dimensions. That can't happen. It's unreal. Doesn't exist. To this block, some 90% of the world's population believes that there's a lot that can't happen. These people are in here, like molecules of water, all frozen, like this. They go like that, and they feel pretty good because they feel safe anyway. Because they know that this guy can't move neither. And that's the way they want it. They want no motion no change. In fact, if there's any change, let's go back to the 50s or 60s, right? No motion, no change. In other words, no evolution. Then there's people like us. And here we are, way out here on the edge. You freaks. You fringies. We're way out here, see, and we can detect that there's more possible. That things are possible. In here, telepathy isn't possible. Telekinesis isn't possible. Being in two places at once is not possible. Bilocating, it's not possible. None of that's possible in here. Meanwhile, in creation, more and more and more is becoming possible. We've now teleported light. You know that? We've actually teleported electrons.
Uh-huh.
Electrons. In fact, last year in Denmark, they were teleporting whole atoms with the push of a button. Boom, boom. The teleportation is all of a sudden happening. Telepathy, well, we've all experienced it happening. And more and more of it. It's just getting to be more and more a way of our consciousness operating in our intuition. So there's like this action that's happening here. This frozen block is going to get transformed. And the way that you transform a frozen block, a stuckness, is with heat. You put some heat on this, and what's going to happen is the consciousness is going to start changing. Like this. It'll get a little drippy. Eventually, you end up with a whole other state of being called water. And I don't know about you, but my reality recently has been in flux. Sort of like water. It hasn't been so firm and fixed as it used to be. As a matter of fact, I've been doing these talks for 3.5 years now. And something I've noticed just recently, as a matter of fact, noticed since June 8th of 2004, is that for years I was talking to groups that were 80% women. 80%. I didn't mind. But since June 8th, the percentage of men has skyrocketed to 50% or more. Check it out. What happened on June 8th? The Venus transit. For a little while there, it opened a portal. It shifted consciousness, and I've been able to see it manifest. There's been at least an extra 30% men showed up in all my talks since then. Consciousness is definitely shifting. But we want to get this melted. We want to get it changed. We got to come up with some heat. Well, heat comes from force. We got to find a force. Let's see. Where have we got a force? How about 16.4 billion years of constantly accelerating change? There's a force. Okay. So we got a force. Heat comes from force against resistance. Check it out. Heat. Force against resistance builds heat. In other words, guys, we should be extremely happy for all the people putting up resistance to this evolution. Because they are providing the heat to change or shift our consciousness. We have every reason to celebrate Bush and Cheney and everything they're doing. They are creating this heat that is melting this and creating. This is, I'm going to pick on the guys again, but look, guys, haven't you been having emotions that you just aren't supposed to have? In the past, I mean, if you're going to be a guy, you're not going to have these. Till just recently, as more and more of this transition happens. Now, we're not anywhere near the end of the Mayan calendar here. We're just in the middle of this last this last cycle. So there's still more force to come, isn't there? More of that force is going to play out, and there is going to be more resistance. This resistance isn't going to come from the outside world. Right now, what we're doing here in this particular, in this whole beginning of this, is the acceleration that's happening is all this resistance in the physical world or in people's minds and their political aspirations and economic ideas of who they are. There's all this resistance. But we're coming up here. We're here on the fourth day now. And we're headed for this fifth night. The fifth night, as we talked about earlier, there's lots of bad things that happen. But in general, it's got to be more and more specific bad things, not less general bad. Like 250 million years of meteor bombardment throughout the whole solar system is pretty general. Then we get up here, the Ice Age, well, that was only certain continents, you know. Then we get up here, Rome fell. Oh, well, boom. One area of the planet. Then here, World War II happened. Well, World War II being is bad, but it sure isn't 250 million years of meteor bombardment. In other words, this whole creation thing has been getting more and more controlled or structured. Sort of like when you were learning how to ride a bike. At first, you didn't have any experience and no momentum. So, boom, boom, boom. Later, as you got more experience and more momentum, you had better control. And so consciousness is getting better and better, more defined and more defined, less, more specific kinds of change, even for bad stuff, and less general. So we've got a fifth night coming up. What's that fifth night going to be about? This, right here. We need, or we're going to have, more heat. Because this force is going to keep on coming, and there's this resistance which comes from ourselves. This resistance is the resistance to the knowledge that we are God. That resistance is going to cause all kind of heat here. What happens when you heat water? Does that look like ascension to you? You understand that a block of ice cannot pass through things that water can pass through. And steam can pass through where water would never dream of going. So as far as understanding or ability to interact with the universe, the more and more refined the particles are of our consciousness, the more and more we can permeate understanding. So it's very, very much like this, again, as above, so below. It's very much like the physical characteristic. Our consciousness is following the same path. This happens very, very specific thing that happens during this coming up, this night. Not a world destruction. We're over that. We're past that. You understand? We're past that part. Consciousness is not going to tear up the planet when it's got conscious co-creation in mind. We've already went through all of this stuff down here. And you can see how it's getting less and less and less and less. Yeah, there might be some earth changes. There may be a flush of few million people. But it's not the end of everything. And it's only the beginning of something far, far greater. Now, that's what's on track. I mean, the systems that we have, the systems are like this, right here. That's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be, and it's, you know, you're in debt, you will go to work, you will pay your bills. That's changing. First of all, you're not in debt. It doesn't exist. It's manufactured, just like automobiles or toothbrushes. Debt was built, was engineered. You want to know how real debt is? There's a biomass on this planet. That is all the living breathing. That's weeds and grass and insects and bugs and all that, right? And then there's us. And we are 0.001% of all that biomass. So how real is debt? I don't know. Let's go ask a bear. How much do you owe? Or a whale. How much do you owe? It just doesn't exist. Go ask some indigenous person. How much do you owe? Owe to who? Well, didn't somebody bring you a rabbit last night for your pot? Well, yeah. They do that every week or so. But then we deliver snake meat to them. Or whenever we have extra of this, we take it over to them. There's no debt there in those societies. We've been to one, yeah.
I think I'm naive, but I don't see bears and whales and insects buying products and having to pay rent and, you know, cars, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having a hard time not seeing how that might have incurred some debt, our need base, so-called need
okay.
base.
Okay. Whales have to work to live. They have to actually swim and catch plankton and stuff.
I thought they were just having a whale of a good time.
Oh, sure they are. But they have to actually expend energy to produce a product for themselves to live on. That's no different than what we're doing. We're just doing a more variety of products, of activity. None of that actually is about debt. All those products are created from natural resources that were there. Right? They were already there. They were provided. So, the whole idea of commerce, of having to buy something, in itself, is manufactured. It's been built over the last 4,000 years, this system. Merchant law, then contract law, common law, British law, which is our law. And come to find out, the system was built specifically to fail over and over again. And then one big final failure. And when you look at the schedule, you can actually see it. All through this whole period, right here, this whole the system periodically, every 20 years, collapses. And it's in the book, by the way. The connection between the economy and consciousness is like this. Every one of the nights, the economy turns down. During the day, it goes up. It's fantastic. Yes?
When is the fifth night?
The third night?
No, when is the fifth night?
Oh, the fifth night. That is in 2008. Yeah. 2005 is the fourth day, pretty much, until November. 2006 is the fourth night. This is when free energy will probably come online. This is during the night is when you get applied what you learned during the day. Then we go into the fifth day, which is a wide open, expansive time period. That is 2007, and then 2008 will be the fifth night.
Ian, when do you think the bank is going to collapse?
Right around April 12th. No, this year.
It's in March.
So, what's happening in March? I did say March. What's happening in March is there's a meeting in Europe.
That gives me a whole 30 days in March.
Yeah. Well, you'll see this coming, and it's not going to happen all at once. You know, people ask me when is it going to come down? It's coming down now, people. Now. Have you ever seen a glacier? Like the glacier faces are falling off into the water. You ever seen pictures of that? Movies and stuff. And it looks like it's in slow motion, doesn't it? It's not. That was real time photo. The reason it looks so slow is because it's so big. Well, think about it. How big is the world economy? It is coming down now. We're watching it.
So what do you suggest we do to prepare?
Oh, get into your intuition. I want to talk about that more, too.
Okay.
Buy gold? I don't know. I was saying that earlier myself. Buy gold, and I don't think so. I don't think so.
What about credit card debt?
Credit card debt, that, number one, doesn't exist.
So go out and get a card.
First of all, these credit card guys, right? Where'd they get all the money? There is no money. There's no money. There's a specific reason why there's no money, which we can go into another time, but there's no money. So you never got anything from these people. Everything's already paid for. There's no debt. They just put themselves in the middle as a middleman and just prop themselves up with laws and guns to force people to pay things. It's just not true. I'm not going to give you all the details because we'd be here for another, hours. But on my webpage, which is mayanmagics.com, you can go and read about this. We have it up online. It's all there. Please avail yourself of the information. It's what you know that gets you through. Now, as far as what to do to prepare, start allowing everything. Allow everything to happen. Bad, good, indifferent, allow it to happen. Don't be part of this resistance. We don't need to resist anything. There's plenty of people volunteered to do that for us. We don't need to resist anything. Our whole task is to allow more to become possible, to allow anything to happen. When you've done that, when you're allowing that, then you can then, well, actually, right here, back one more, this back here, this point right here is very allowing. That's where you're most allowing. Letting it happen. Just, you're not trying to force anything to happen. You are witnessing it and allowing it to occur. That's when you're in your intuition. And that's what our task is to allow things that are mind, things that are bad, to happen for the better of all. That's going to be quite a test. And especially watching other people go through this. Because you can handle yourself, okay, but watching other people freak out is really a drag, isn't it? And even being too near them can be really a drag. So that's why we come out with this information, and especially the first tape that's established the fact that this acceleration is going on. We sell the videotape for $25. But we sell them with a very special copyright, and that is, copy it right and give it away to every person who you think would watch it. It's the only way we can get this out there fast enough. So please avail yourself of that if you can. And we've got a lot to allow. There's not so much to do. There's hardly any time to do it anyway. Is just let this process run out. Now, if you know how to grow carrots, get to it. Because when the system comes comes down, it's hard to tell what's exactly going to happen. Because we got this going on. We got the system coming down and consciousness going up. You know? So as things go to pieces, other solutions are going to appear. You heard of community dollars? You heard of that? An economic system where you donate part of your day to the community and it gets chalked up on an account. And doctors make the same as cooks or housekeepers. It's all by the hour. It's not structured by this person's time is worth more than that person's time. Those systems already exist, and they're quite workable. And something like that would be what takes the place of what we've got going on now. Community dollars. Or community hours. There are whole companies selling right now. They're selling or providing programs for cities to set this up. So that everybody's got it.
I'm going to stop that right there. And I wanted to just delve into this particular one. It talks a little more about the ninth wave, which we just experienced in March. And
the problems that we have with it is the days of the days of celebrating other. Gregorian calendar.
The use of this calendar is an artificial way of counting time. There is no logic or scientific relation between.
I hate it.
The exact length of the year used by the Gregorian calendar to measure and divide a year. Although the calendar for the Mayan, Hindu, Judaic, Islamic, and Chinese people remains a day, the Gregorian calendar measures daily affairs.
Well, my understanding of the Gregorian calendar was that it was instituted around the 1500s, somewhere in there, by Pope Gregory. And the idea was behind it to be able to govern specific days primarily for commerce and to look at the world in terms of delivery schedules and trying to organize our civilization in order to be productive. Production is the key to any nation's ability to survive. The problems that we have with it is the days of the calendar are filled with days of celebration, but not to reach into our heart, but
its cross. No one could receive the blessings of Christianity.
Go with me, guys. Just 1 second here.
And then that's a system of growth, too, as well.
We are all now in a time shift. This is the moment to wake up and hear the message of the Mayan people and sing the new song of enlightenment. So we, the children of the earth, can return to nature. It is time for the 1260 old world civilization of materialistic greed and mechanized life process to end.
I can only hope my Mayan people can really get in touch and follow the sacred timekeeping. There is only a few elders. That are doing that, and I honor them so much because we are doing now a labor of recuperation of all this ancient knowledge. As I'm telling you,
this video is a little less.
A lot in the technology and the science to understand many things, but the level of consciousness that will understand the messages of the time travelers This is a different consciousness. Now humanity is reaching a level where we are starting to be interested, because the sacred calendar is a map of time.
Only from such a point of view of departure will we realize that humanity has lost access to an indispensable part of its ancient heritage, a heritage that has either been distorted or... not understood correctly. And this very lack of insight about the ancient knowledge through their sacred calendar has created a global imbalance. We have consciously shunned half the world's knowledge.
Well, Azapa is a very special place because it is the place where the 2012 calendar was invented. And the spiritual message that's preserved on the carved monuments of Azapa are basically the same message that we find in the hero twin creation myth. So basically the carved monuments are portraying that same teaching that we find in the Popol Vuh. And in that story, it's basically, in a nutshell, it's basically the relationship between seven macaw, who is the false ruler, and one Hunapu, who is the consciousness that's been reborn, transformed by coming back into right relationship with the true cosmic source and center. So this dynamic between seven macaw and one Hunapu, and how the hero twins facilitate the demise of seven macaw and the rebirth of their father, one Hunapu, it's basically the perennial universal teaching about the relationship between the limited ego consciousness and the divine, unlimited, true consciousness. And the spiritual message is that we have an opportunity here at the end of the cycle to sacrifice or surrender the illusions that keep us fixated to that limited state of consciousness that is ruled by the seven macaw of the world. Seven macaw being the vain and false ego. You know, the ego out of control. And, you know, ego's always been a fiction of convenience. But at some point, in the great cycles of time, humanity lost their connection with the true eternal consciousness, which is our birthright. It resides at the core of our hearts. And when that connection got severed, then ego sort of got deputized to take over that function. And then things kind of just went haywire from there.
But if we really want to know more and how the Mayan count of days functions, we must ask the Mayan elders. Among the living Maya themselves, many are educating their young in the old ways. At the core of the teachings is the sacred count of days.
If you are born into the energy of Kesh, you are a person of service. If you are Balaam, the Jaguar, you have authority. Depending on what sign you were born in, you can educate a child to take out their potential and their possibility.
I'm going to, we only got a minute left, and I want to mention that you can get this on YouTube. Between Two Worlds, Mayan Calendar, Ninth Wave, 2011 and 2012. Also go to Zell Lungold's incredible works. I hope you got something from this tonight. Probably a little difficult to follow because it works well with the video, but the information that he gave and he explains 2008 and 2009. And you got to remember, this guy died in 2005. And this was his last lecture. And last lecture that he filmed. And right now, we're entering that period what he's talking about. We've already passed through 2008, which he said would be a terrible collapse in the economy. And because of the ending of the financial system, it's starting to fall apart. And, of course, everything in this third dimension, this cube that he said, is falling apart because it's being heated up. We're being heated up by, you know, the fastness, the quickness of time. And because of that we are entering an ascension mode where we're vibrating at a higher speed, where our molecular structure is heating up. And so that, you know, we are ascending, even though we don't know it, we don't realize it. We are already ascending and creating. Our bodies are already vibrating at a much higher speed than they did 10 years ago. And for that reason, and each day it increases and increases and increases. And many people drop out. Many people can't believe what's going on. Many people can't keep up. And the thing is, nobody can keep up because the time is going to exceed everybody. The swiftness of time, nobody will be able to keep up with it. So, and that's exactly the way it's designed, so that we are catapulted, if you will, into another dimension, into another existence, far, 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 far greater than anything we can imagine here on Earth. But what we continue to try to imagine as a much greater and more in a wonderful world where there's no disease and there's no wars and there's no threats. It's just the sheer bliss and hierarchy where we, you know, we grasp the basic concepts of human existence and move forward in, you know, without fear and without sacrifice and without anything, because all we have to do is think, and what we need will manifest itself. And with that thought, I will leave you tonight. And I hope that you can go to Sel, that's X-E-L, Lungold, L-U-N-G-O-L-D, and check out his video. Check out the other videos that are on that site, and I think you'll be pleasantly amazed. So good night, and have a pleasant weekend. Talk to you next Tuesday.